This week we're still doing sugyas relating to the daf, and we just started Maseches Yuma. So last week I did a shiur on Parah Aduma. So I promised that this week I would do something a little lighter, because last week's shiur was really, I guess, I don't know, I wanted to give a shiur on Parah Aduma for the longest time, so I gave a shiur on Parah Aduma, and no one else was dying to hear a shiur on Parah Aduma, I don't think. So this week we're going to do something a little lighter. There is a Gemara in Yuma on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. And I should, you know, I should say this week is not, it's not really so much of a shiur, it's more like a collection of shailas of different sources related to something that comes up. So the Gemara in Yuma Daf Dalet Amud Beis tells us that Rebbe, what's it, Rabba, who is it? Rebbe Mosia Bar Bered, Rebbe Masia Mishmed, Rebbe Mosia, or some say Menasya, Rabbi Menasya, Rabba Minayin La'omer Davar L'Chaveru, whoever says it, the Gersos issues, Minayin La'omer Davar L'Chaveru Shu Bibal Yomar. How do I know that if somebody says something to his friend, that that is Bibal Yomar, that that is something that should not be said to anybody else? Ad Shiyomer Lo Lechamar, unless the guy who says it to you tells you, go and share it, go and tell it to somebody else. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'ol Moed Lemar. Pasuk says, Hashem spoke to Moshe from the old Moed, Lemar. So from there we see that if you're not told that you're supposed to tell it to somebody else, so you're not allowed to tell something to somebody else. So the obvious kasha is, before we get to all the shailas related to this issue, where do you see that in the Pasuk? Where does the Pasuk say that you're not allowed to tell it to somebody else? So Rashi on the spot says, it's that magic word, Lemar. What does the word Lemar mean? Says Rashi, it's a combination of two words. Tamalomar Lemar, Lo Amar Hadvarim, Elim Kenos in Lo Rishus. Lemar means Lo Amar. It's a combination of two words where the Aleph and the Mem, the Aleph rather, serves as both, you know, serves both words. It's as if there are two Alephs. Lo Amar, don't say. So the Vaidavar Hashem Elav Me'el Moed Lemar means Hashem spoke to Moshe from the Ol Moed, telling him, don't say things in general. That whenever you're told things, you shouldn't say those things, unless you're given direct permission to say such things. That is how Rashi understands the drasha. The Marsha just points out that l'chora you don't have to say like that. The drasha could be much simpler. The Marsha in source number three, Marsha writes, "Mipirush Rashi near the darish lemar b'milum or keves." That Rashi understands lemar as a combination of two words together, lo amar. And the aleph works for both the first word and the second word of the phrase. Velule perusho nira. But had Rashi not said that, I would have said the lemar kimashma'o. That lemar is what it always means. How do we always translate lemar? So as kids, we always, at least I remember when I was a little kid, the way we were taught to read Chumash is we'd repeat after the Rebbe. Vayidaber Hashem el Hashem spoke el Moshe to Moshe lemor. Saying, right? Of course Hashem spoke saying. Who doesn't speak saying? Whenever you speak, you are saying. That's the definition of speaking, right? So what is saying? So lemor doesn't really mean saying. Lemor means, says Marsha, to say. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe, not lemor saying. That doesn't make any sense. Lemar means to say. Hashem spoke to Moshe and said, you should go and say this now. From the fact that Hashem has to tell Moshe, go and say this, that if Hashem doesn't give explicit instructions to go say to somebody else, well then the rule is, don't say it to anybody. That the standard assumption is that it's Bebal Yomar, that you're not allowed to say it, and that fits very nicely with Lashon of the Gemara. What's Lashon of the Gemara? Not just how do I know that things are Bebal Yomar. How do I know that things are Bebal Yomar? Ad she yomar lo lechamar. Until someone says, go and say it. So all of that is in Lamar. Because in the Lamar we see that when you go and say, when you're told, go and say it, so then you can say it. If you're not, and we see from there, if you're not told to go and say it, you can't say it. V'acha b'parch v'yikro b'kavak suvim lo istrich leimar shiyomer la'acherim da'ksiv basrachim mefurish da'berel b'nei Yisrael elami davracha ba'omer l'chaveru etc. V'nira od b'zeh al p'imash kosafti le'el habisina. Well, actually, let's leave out the nira od b'zeh, because I want to get to the actual shaylas that we're going to be dealing with. Now, the Gvura Sari, Shagsari and Gvura Sari points out that this Lechora is against the drasha we have somewhere else on the word Lamar. He says, Lamar, Amra Mosya, Mikan, Amr Dabar Chavir, Shubbal Yomar, Pirish Midichsiv, Lamar, Shetzorak Litin Rashus, Lahed Yashi Yomar, Mukhal de Bestamahu Bebal Yomar. Exactly like the Marsha understands Lamar. That from the fact that Hashem gives permission to say it, implies that without explicit permission, you're not allowed to say it. Says the Gvura Sari, Venirali, the less later Rabbi Mosya Hadar Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar de Lamar Lulav Asi. This is going against the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Meseches Tmura, that Lamar is a lashon of a losase. Kiditani Perikamba de Tmura, Vishar Vesesaru of a Kalut and Dovatas also, Osoa Tamatvis Lebedekabayas, Viatamat Matvis Tmimim Lebedekabayas. The halacha is, if you have an animal that's a balmum, you're allowed to give a balmum for bedek habayis. Normally, when you give an animal to the Beis HaMikdash, the assumption is that if it's an animal that's ready to be used for a karban, it should not be given the bedek habayis. It should be given for kachim mizbeach. It should have kedushas haguf. It should be used for an actual karban. It shouldn't only be given the bedek habayis. So we darshan from the pasuk that tells us about all these different types of balei mum that you can give for bedek habayis, that yes, also atamat is bedek habayis, but you cannot give a bal mum to bedek habayis. Mikanam Rabbi Yehuda kalamat is tamim lebedek. You cannot give a tamim animal to bedek habayis. So mikanam Rabbi Yehuda kalamat is tamim lebedek habayis. Over ba'asei, anyone who gives tamim lebedek habayis is in violation of an asei. Good, so it's a violation of an assay. How do I know it's a violation of a los assay also? Tam lom reidav rishon Moshe lemar dahainu lo ne'emar bidvarim. Since the parsha is introduced with lemar, lemar is a way of saying there's a los assay in this parsha. So he darshins lemar not as in say it to somebody else, but as in be on the lookout, there's a los assay over here. O lav ne'emar, kidim fari shasam. So why don't we say the same thing on this lemar? Why don't we also say it's a lav? Because the parsha continues, the psukim continue. Adam kiyakr mikem kabran laHashem min abehemah min abakar min atzon takriv es kabran chem. That's what the psukim continue to talk about at the beginning of Sefer VaYikra, and it's from those psukim that the Gemara in Zvachim learns out that lemale vari behemah tamei legabi mizbeach. Do over ba'asei, that if a person brings the avarim of a non-kosher animal on the mizbeach, it's a violation of an asei, because we darshin, yes, tahora in, tamei alo, that you can bring a tahora animal's limbs, but not a tamei animal means non-kosher, not a non-kosher animal's limbs. The lav abam l'chal asei asei, and we say any lav that's derived from an asei, from a loshen of asei, is an asei. So says Shagasari, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, what we should darshan over here is that this is a los asei, that it's a lav, that to bring a varim of a behema tmeya on the mizbeach. Vashachanami yishlam al Rabbi Yehuda, the high lemar asi, lav or belos asei, lemale varim behema tmeya al gabi mizbeach. So it must be that our Gemara is against Rabbi Yehuda. So what he points out over here is, meaning if you just read the Gemara in Yuma Daf Daled Amud Beis, you'll assume that it's Kuli Amalo Pligi, that it's a standard Shita, that everybody agrees, that there's confidentiality, that until you're told to say something, you assume that there's confidentiality. He says, but it could be that this is a machlokas tanaim or a machlokas amurayim, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda thinks that you cannot make any such drasha, that adrabah, there's a lo sase to be derived from here. Miu yesh lomer, devade the Rabbi Yehuda nami lemor mashmali bekal makom litim rishos laomro asya. He says, but the truth is, really you could assume that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word lemor means to say to somebody else. Demistamahu bebal yomer krab mosya. And really, that's what lemor means throughout all of the Torah, and we can learn this drasha that our Gemara has over here. Why does he feel a need to make an additional drasha? That lemor means that there's a losase, dafka by the case of the animal that's a balmum, that you're makdish. Vishaini hacha gabi sarua vikalut the number vitchilas aparsha basar haikra de lemor daber alar velbana velkol bnei Yisrael hareshur horsha lahedya laomro lekulan. He said the problem that he was dealing with is that parsha had already said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go speak, and specifically Hashem said to Moshe, go speak to Aaron, to Banav, to Kol Bnei Yisrael. So he already had permission to go share it with everyone. So Lamar Lamali, why does Hashem then have to add in the word Lamar? So Shema Minah Lelavasi. So that's why it's to teach me a lo sase. But that's what the Lamar is doing in that situation. But really, maybe even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Lamar does teach me this din of confidentiality. Okay, it's a long shagasari. We can get more involved, but let's take a step back and actually discuss some shaylas. So what I did over here is I went through, Rav Zilberstein has this sefer on most mesechtas in Shas called Chashuk Echemet, where he has wild shaylas that do or do not relate to the daf. You know, they either relate to the daf or very, very, very tenuously relate to the daf, but he has a few on confidentiality that obviously relate very much to this issue. So we'll just go through some of the questions that he had, and we'll see what some of the klalim are. Meaning, even before we go through the questions, how serious of an issue is this? Is this confidentiality issue? What if it conflicts with something else? What if it conflicts with some other pertinent halachic concept? What if it conflicts with l'samar adam re'echa, as it often does? You want to keep confidentiality, but at the same time, you don't want someone to suffer because of a lack of knowledge. So which one wins? Lo samar adam re'echa or lemar, that you're not entitled to say anything? What if the person didn't want you to say it because they don't want, they're just very humble and they don't want to get credit for something that they really deserve credit for? So is it then a mitzvah to maybe go say it so that you can give them the proper credit for what they deserve? Whether it be avoiding an isser, or whether it be the opportunity to do a mitzvah, or the opportunity to help somebody, is there ever a reason to break this confidentiality? What if, is there a difference between different types of people? Meaning in America, we assume that a doctor has a confidentiality, a lawyer. There are certain professions where there's an assumed confidentiality, or not just assumed, a stated confidentiality agreement on the books. But Stam, your next-door neighbor, doesn't have confidentiality. Right? He's allowed in American law. Do we make any such distinctions in terms of that? Where does Dina de Malchusa play a role? If the halacha does not hold of confidential, does not think that we should keep something confidential, but the Medina de Malchusa demands that we do, the famous shayla that comes up, I saw in Rav Nachum Rabinovich's tshuva, someone gave me a while ago to read. He has a shayla from a psychologist, where a woman who was in therapy at the psychologist had told the psychologist that she, I believe it was that she wasn't going to the mikveh anymore, or that she just wasn't from anymore, she wasn't being makbar and kashrus, things like that. And she was still living with her husband, who was a from guy. So that means that the husband was nichshal in being bo'al anida, he's nichshal in eating macholos asuros, but there's confidentiality with the psychologist. So does the psychologist permitted? Is he mechuyav to tell the husband? Is he even allowed to tell the husband? Where does that come from? But let's take a look at some of Rav Zilberstein's shilas, just to get a picture for what's out there, the shilas that are out there on this topic. So I just listed them in English over here. A 35-year-old woman is very ill and asks her doctor and her husband not to tell anybody, including her father, about her illness. May they tell her father? Meaning the father wants to know. Now, what would be the svara to yes, tell the father? It would seem like a slam dunk not to tell the father. No, if she doesn't want the father to know, she doesn't want the father to know. So why would you say dafka to yes, tell the father? What would be a svara that maybe yes? You might be able to help in some way. So let's say it's... What?
I'm sure you're not allowed to do that.
If you think he could help, yeah. then it's pikuach nefesh.
Yeah.
Then you should... So, good. So that's one possibility. Maybe he can help. What if he can't help? She's terminally ill. He's not helping. So is there any other svara to tell the father?
Kibra Veim. Yeah.
Why is that Kibra Veim?
Because the father would certainly want to know.
So good. So then the question is, does that fall within the rubric of Kibra Veim? When the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about Kibra Veim, the Gemara says, what's Mora, what's Kibbutz? So by Mora it says, so don't sit in his seat, and don't contradict things he says, and don't get involved in it. What's Kibbutz? Ma'achilo, mashkeu, give him to eat, give him to drink, but go shopping for him, provide him with things. So does this fit into necessarily something that you know he would want, So to do something that, let's say you know that your father loves when you wear your favorite blue shirt. He loves how it looks on you. So is it a kiyum mitzvah of kibud av aim if he's not going to see you and you're going to wear that blue shirt? You know he loves it. It would make him happy. It would put a smile on his face if someone told him, oh, I saw your son. He was wearing that blue shirt. So is that a kiyum mitzvah of kibud av aim? Very questionable whether that's a kiyum mitzvah of kibud av aim, something that he would want. Now, it could be for his own health. A lot of times people need to be eased into something. I mean, if the woman is really terminal, so she doesn't want to have to deal with her father right now and deal with her father knowing about this illness. It will be too heartbreaking for her. But on the other hand, what's going to happen when the news is broken to the father very suddenly? That's going to be a great challenge to him. So, okay, so that's one shayla. Another shayla. And we'll see. We'll get back to this.
I mean, he
what?
He was resentful that he didn't tell him.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the second one. A woman is not well, again, an ill woman, is completely dependent on her husband. Her husband gets her everything she needs, takes care of her. They have two young children. He is then diagnosed with a terrible illness, and he will not survive for very long. He tells his doctors not to tell his wife about his illness. They're concerned that she will not be able to make proper preparations for care for herself and for the children without some lead time to know that her husband is dying. So can the doctor tell the wife in that situation? Is the doctor mechuyev to tell the wife? Again, you have an explicit, over here it's not just an assumed confidentiality, you have an explicit statement, do not tell. So can you then go and tell?
Is there life insurance?
Right, no, so that may play a role, meaning how much will there be an ability for her to take care of herself once he's gone. You have questions in poskim. They discuss. I once had a shayla similar to this, but Rav Vadi has a shayla about someone who's epileptic and he suffers from seizures once in a while. And he went to get his driver's license, and he didn't tell them that he has this condition, and he doesn't have the condition under control. Sometimes you have it under control, and so for years and years, the person go without having a seizure if the medicine is proper, and they, you can tell the DMV about the conditions, they'll still give you a license. But let's say this person doesn't have the situation under control, and you know that this guy could have a seizure at any moment, and he just didn't tell the DMV. Do you have an achrayus to tell the DMV? Are you allowed to tell the DMV? Rav Avadia discusses. He has a tshuva nichav v'das like this. I have a Talmud once who had an eye issue. His eyes would like shake. It was a little strange. His eyes. I don't know if he said that he's able to see fairly normally, but he had this issue of what about telling the DMV with the eye test, because I don't think he had to take an eye test at the DMV. You can come with a note from a doctor. So he came with a note from a family friend doctor who didn't really examine him, just wrote him a note. So knowing that. if you know that, do you have to call up the DMV? The guy's going to take the road. He's going to be put people's lives at risk. So in that case, it seems like a slam dunk. Meaning, if you look at the Tzitz Eliezer doesn't really give too much time to this shayla because he doesn't get so excited by it. If you look in source number 14 on page 5. He says, "L'she'ila so ha'achrona b'miskeret zos ha'she'ila b'chola b'machlas ha'epilepsia." If he drives, he's going to cause sakana to himself, to other people. Do you have maybe even a chiyuv to tell the DMV? I don't know what you're asking me. What are you telling me? Nothing to talk about. That's not really such a shayla. But what about this other case with telling the father about the illness? Okay, third shayla. A young man suffers from a psychiatric condition for which he takes medication. He's engaged and plans to tell the kala about his condition. His father says that he cannot tell her, and it's going to ruin the shidduch, and his father says, absolutely, do not tell her. And the father is threatened to cut the son is misspelled, right, he's not that powerful, exactly, to cut the son off emotionally and financially if he tells the kala. Should he tell it? Is there any reason not to tell him? So this could be significant. This is not only an issue of confidentiality. It's not an issue of confidentiality at all. Rav Zilberstein puts that child over here. That's not the issue over here. What's this an issue of? So this could be an issue of mekach talos, of misleading a woman into a marriage that she has no idea. Rav Moshe has a tshuva like this of a girl who got married to got married to a guy, and then in the yichud room, the guy went berserk. The guy went absolutely crazy, and he didn't even make it home from the wedding. They had to institutionalize him mamish that night. And her shaila to Rav Moshe was, does she have to cover her hair? She already went through with the... So Rav Moshe said that no, she doesn't have to cover her hair in that case, because the whole thing was a mechal. No, it turned out, in that case, he had been institutionalized previously. He forgot to mention it. Didn't come up. But he had been institutionalized previously. So Moshe said it was the whole thing is a mekachtos. It happened to be she got a get anyway from him, and the whole shaila was only about covering the hair. It wasn't about a get. So that was when people started nullifying kiddushins as a way of solving the aguna crisis. They kept on using that tshuva of Moshe. That you see that if there's a pre-existing condition, like he's been institutionalized, or like he sometimes has a temper and she didn't realize how bad the temper is, or like he's a bit of a balgaiva and she didn't realize how much of a balgaiva. You know, and they came up with all these ridiculous extensions to Rav Moshe, and so you don't need a get. Rav Moshe didn't even say you don't need a get. There was a get over there. The whole shaila was about covering the hair, which is a drabbanan. You know, it's not nearly as serious an issue. Okay, but anyway, that's over here you have a serious mekachtos shaila. Okay, fourth shaila. Medical clinic has a relationship with a certain hospital where they constantly refer patients. Somebody at the clinic informs a doctor who works at the hospital, who happens to be a friend of his, that they're planning on discontinuing the relationship. So the hospital is going to suffer from this. Is he permitted to inform the hospital administration of their plans? Meaning, it was a private conversation. He didn't tell him not to tell, but it was a private conversation. His neighbor says, oh, you know, your hospital's going to be in trouble because we're going to stop referring business to your hospital. So is that Bibal Yomar? Does he have to assume that that's Bibal Yomar? The hospital has no idea that they're going to drop this bombshell on them. Or is he allowed to tell? So what's the svar over there? What would you think over there? In that case, it's... what would you think?
I would think he is allowed to tell, because whether or not he tells them, it's not going to harm the clinic any further.
Ah, so no one's going to get hurt. Now, that's so this really cuts to the core of this iser. If it's an iser that you're just not allowed to do, you always assume things are bebal yomar. It's just it meaning, is this an iser ben adam l'chavero in the sense that you have to assume that if somebody didn't give you permission to say something, it's going to hurt him, and therefore you're not allowed to say because you might hurt him? Or is it no, it's not about hurting him. There's stam an iser that you're not allowed to tell things, that you're not told that you're not given permission to tell, that things are always assumed to be confidential, not because you're going to hurt him. The guy just doesn't want you to tell. He doesn't want to come in. It doesn't. No. It's not a bein adam l'chaveru issue even. It's just bebal yomar. It's just that's the way a Jew has to behave. Bein adam l'atzmo. That you don't behave by going around and telling everybody everything. Maybe so that might cut to the core of what the nature of the issur is. Let's look at shaila number five. Also a doctor case. Shimon is a doctor. Works at a hospital in Israel. Reuven, his colleague, is a specialist who's at the top of his field. Shimon accidentally opens a letter that was meant for Reuven, and sees that a major hospital in America is offering a substantial amount of money to Reuven if he would leave his position in Israel. Can Shimon inform the hospital administration of this letter? What?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. No. Why? Why not?
Because it's confidential. I mean, you can't open up somebody's...
Okay, let me phrase the question differently. What's different about this case than all the other cases?
He didn't find out.
No one told him anything. He found out, matter of fact. I mean, he found out without anyone telling him.
He found out by violating somebody else's privacy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So in a way it's better, but in a way it's worse. Meaning, in a way it's better because the Gemara... What was the lashon of the Gemara? Minayin la'omer dover l'chavero shuhu bebal yomar. How do I know that if someone tells you something, it's bebal yomar? Over here, no one told him anything. Reuven didn't tell him anything. He found out. Now, it was an accident. Shimon's last name is Cohn, and Reuven's last name is Cohn. They work in the same hospital, and there was a letter addressed to Dr. Cohn. So he opened it up, and that's the letter that he read. But over here, you have an additional issue also. And that issue is, there is an issue with reading other people's mail. That's the issue of the Chaim Darbeinu Gershom. Now, Rav Shachter often likes to point out, whenever he quotes the Chaim Darbeinu Gershom, he always likes to say, Chaim Darbeinu Gershom is not a collection of things that Yisurim Darbeinu Gershom made up. Most of them are things that were usher anyway. And Rabbeinu Gershom just, because people don't care about what's usher, they care about if there's a cherim. So Rabbeinu Gershom made a cherim on it. Meaning it's not okay to read somebody's mail. It wasn't, like before Rabbeinu Gershom came along, it wasn't like just, you know, acceptable and normal to read somebody else's mail. To be Mekarish Ishto Balkarcha is one of the cherim of Rabbeinu Gershom. To give a wife a get, when she, you know, when she doesn't want it, without working things out, without trying to settle things. So that Rabbeinu Gershon wasn't mechadish the Indian that's a violation of Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, of dealing decently with somebody. He just added a cherem to it. But the cherem to Rabbeinu Gershon is not to read somebody else's mail. What if you? So he didn't violate that because he didn't know. It came to him by accident. Now that it has been done, does Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom say to unread it, meaning to pretend as if you never read it, or do we say no? It's too late now. For instance, Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom not to marry more than one wife. The guy had no idea. He had no idea there was such a cherem. So he married two wives. And then someone says, he goes to a shir and hears that there's such a thing as a chayim d'rabbeinu gershom. I never knew that there's such a thing. You're not allowed to marry two wives. Does he have to divorce one now? I mean, is it an isser in the maisa of what you do, or is it an isser in an ongoing state of being? On that one also, meaning on the different parts of chayim d'rabbeinu gershom. So that this touches on the parameters of chayim d'rabbeinu gershom also. Number six, again, each one has a different detail that it adds into the picture over here. Joe tells Tom, I decided to go with Gaish names to differentiate between this and the last one. Joe tells Tom that he had saved Mike's life without Mike knowing about it, and asks him not to tell Mike so that he not receive any credit for this mitzvah. Can Tom tell Mike? Now over here, not only is it not going to be something that harms Joe, it's going to be something that's going to be beneficial to him. Mike may want to give him a reward, he may want to. Of course, Mike may make Joe feel very uncomfortable every time he sees him. Like, you don't want to feel like the guy's bowing at your feet every time you see him. Remember when I gave bone marrow, they asked if you want to meet the person. I wasn't comfortable with it. I didn't want to meet that because I just don't want someone to look at me like, oh, you know, you did like. It's not a comfortable. I don't know. It's just maybe it's just me. I didn't think that was a comfortable kind of situation. So maybe Joe doesn't want to have to deal with Mike showing this endless gratitude toward him. Okay.
What would this be considered, like Lashon Hara or something?
Oh, so this right, Lashon Hara. He saved your life. I know that's it's not Lashon Hara, but Rechilus, something like that. And the last one also adds a new element. Mrs. Goldberg suffers from constant headaches and is told by her doctor that she needs to share her, it's because of stress, and she needs to share her difficulties with her adult daughter. That's the person she confides in, that's the person she speaks to. Now, her difficulties include that the neighbor did this to me, and my coworker did this to me, and my boss is a jerk, and this one, and all sorts of Lashon Hara. So is she allowed to share that with the daughter for her own mental health? I said, everyone does that. I once had a case, a few times, where people had a monetary dispute. So they come, you know, if they don't want to go to a basin, sometimes they'll come to a rabbi just to adjudicate a monetary dispute. So I always say at the end of the proceedings, you know, if it's a husband and wife come together, usually they'll come for, you know, if it's a woman that's involved, she'll bring her husband for moral support. The man doesn't always bring the wife, but the woman will. So I always say to afterwards that, you know, the whatever the halachos are monetarily, one way or the other, that's one thing. But the halachos of Lashon Hara, of Rechilus, of Motzi Shemra, all of that is still in play. All of that is still a serious halacha. So do me a favor. When you leave tonight, when you leave from here, don't make your first phone call to your mother, to your sister, to complain about, you know, I can't believe what this one said, I can't believe. You have your husband to confide in. So talk it over with your husband. You want to complain to your husband. That's you know, but it's not an all-out hetzer. People think that they can vent to anybody and everybody. And very often, I mean, as unfortunately in my profession, you deal with disputes a lot of times, and family disputes, and when things get exacerbated when someone has a lot of friends around them who are willing to talk to them on the phone and just yes them to death. Yeah, whatever he's... Yeah, you're right. It's terrible. It's terrible what he's doing to you. It's terrible what he's doing to you. And then they just, you know, build up more and more. It is terrible. And this one says it's terrible. And that one says it's terrible. They're taking notes. Every time they're taking mental notes. And, you know, my friend said that it's even worse because he did this. And it's much better sometimes to just, like, diffuse things. Okay, we're getting a little far afield from confidentiality.
Are you saying that basically you...
Yes, so in this case, I think it's also. I put it here because it's one of Rav Zilberstein's shilas over here, but I don't think this is really much of a shila. Meaning, In this case, it seems pretty obvious that that's what she needs for her mental health. Meaning, there is the Chavetz Chaim is very clear in terms of what the definition of Lashon Hara Rechilus is. So if it normally would be Rechilus, but her purpose is Lahafiges Da'agasa, is to control her Daiga. I think I put it here in the Mar Mekomo somewhere. The Chavetz Chaim writes in Hilchus Lashon Hara and Klal Yud, he says, Efshar Shim Kavanasa Lahafiges Da'agasa Milibo, Vilchenu Rotsa Lesaper Liyadido as Ha'avla Shaploni Asalo. You need to share the Avla that someone else did against you in order to take the Daigo away from you. That counts as a Toeles. But the Chavetz Chaim adds, when there is Lashon Hara of the Toeles, there are still rules that have to be followed. It's not just an all-out assault. So you have to remember all the Pratim. Included in that Pratim is not to be Magdil the Avla more than what it actually is. Right, if someone does a little bit to you, so you shouldn't exaggerate what the person did, and not to be the Rav Zilberstein adds over here that Chavetz Chaim writes over there shelo yisovev la'osa avle nezek al yidei asipur yosem mikfi adin, don't cause them harm. Meaning, if let's say someone you're upset at somebody, so you could go to all their customers and tell them, you know, if they run a store, you can go to all their customers or their clients and tell them, or you can go to someone who doesn't know them. And that will help you vent. So vent to someone who doesn't know them. You're not allowed to go and just ruin them in that way. So you should go to somebody who themselves knows the halacha of Lashon Hara. Meaning, if the person that you're going to vent to themselves doesn't know the halachas of Lashon Hara, the halachas then not allowed to believe you. It's usher for them to believe you. So when Now, it's also for them to believe you in the negative sense, meaning they're allowed to believe that you believe that the person caused you tsar, but whatever story you tell them, they have a chiv to be done the kaf schus, that maybe what really happened is such and such. He gives examples. He says, let's say, im hamislonenes al shchenasa shi tola kvisa hamataftefes mayam al kvisa shalot. It's a very Israeli example where they have clotheslines, you know, where they hang the wet clothing outside, and they live in an apartment building, and the woman says, the upstairs neighbor, she drives me crazy. Every time my clothing is about to dry, she hangs out her wet clothing and it drips all over my clothing. So the daughter could believe that's true, but the daughter should be down the kav schus, that probably when she does that, she doesn't realize that it's dripping downstairs on the clothing. And but I'm screaming at her, you're dripping down my clothing. She probably just hears screaming. She thinks, what's this crazy woman screaming? She doesn't even know what you're saying. So you have to always be down the kav schus as the listener. A person has to be down the kav schus. So yeah, that's a tricky thing. You have to go to someone who's not going to just continue to say, yeah, say more, yeah, it's probably worse, yeah, and you know what she did to me one time. You have to go to someone who themselves knows that. Otherwise, you're violating Lifnei Iver also, because you're causing them to, the listener, to do an Avera. So you don't want to violate Lifnei Iver on top of it. So that's a detailed Lashon Hara question. Let's go through some of the rules another thing I wanted to discuss also. I had a situation of a person who, let's see, how do I say this without giving away who it is? A person who confided something and then passed away. So the question is, am I still bound by that confidentiality? Meaning, it would have been uncomfortable for this person to deal with certain people in their life if I gave away that secret while they were alive. Now, after death, it's a great shevach to the person, but it would have been very uncomfortable. Let's take for Lamashal the case of Joe telling Tom that he saved Mike's life. So why does Joe not want Mike to know about it? Because it's uncomfortable. He just doesn't want it. Now Joe's dead. Can you now tell Mike that Joe saved his life? Can you now share that secret, or do you say no? Once it's confidential, that it stays confidential forever. So this was interesting because I was certain that it was mutter, that once they're gone, so you don't have to worry about the confidentiality so much. The Rama in Chosh Mishman in Sim Tav Chav Sif Lamed Ches says Ahmedaber Ra al Shulchnei Ofer Sarach the Kabbal of Tainios Uchuva Vonche Mamon. That if someone speaks badly about people who are dead, so you got to do tshuva for that. You have to fast for it and do tshuva and punish yourself. It's very difficult. It's worse than speaking badly about someone who's alive, because if you speak badly about someone who's alive, you can ask mechila. You can't do that about someone who's dead. Even though in Aruch Chaim, the Rama goes through a whole procedure. You go to the kever and you ask mechila at the kever, but it's not the same. You don't know that they're, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether they're listening, whether they know what's going on in this world, whether they can hear you when you're being bakish mechila. It may just be about going through that experience yourself and going through the busha of asking mechila in front of other people. Maybe that's what that experience is about, because it's not necessarily solving the bein adam l'chaveiro. So Rav Zilberstein writes, in terms of that Ramah, about speaking badly about someone, he says, Ha'im kavanasa l'motzi shemra alameh, shabazet tiknu kavanasenu takana miyuchadas, o shafilu davar emes ein lomar, mishum she'ein evdol b'loshon hara bein chay lameis. So he says, the shaila that he asks is this only when you're saying, when you said something false about the meis, or even when you said something true? But odyesh l'shal, if there is an isra of loshon hara about a meis, so is there an iser of megalasod, also about a mace, of rechilus, holich rachil, megalasod, of revealing secrets? Is it minayin lomer davel chaver shub val yomer? Is this a violation of yuma, daftal and base? So he writes that the Chavetz Chaim in Klal Ches, Sif Tes, and Hilchos Lashon Hara, quotes from a Mordechai, that it's also to be mevazim mesim, and he learns it from the Pasuk, v'nei kamtem tachas avasechem tarbus anashim chatoim. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, Ata mevaze es ha'avos. So Kodesh Baruch Hu takes Moshe to task for being mevaze the avos. So it sounds like it's not an issur of l'selich rachil, it's a different issur. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky said that he asked his brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, what he thinks about being megala sod of a mace, and he said that it's asur, that you're not allowed to do it, that it's just like Lashon Hara applies to a mace, so the Megala Sod applies to a mace also. I would have thought that there's a difference. I mean, Lashon Hara is pogea in the mace, but you're doing something bad, and people are going to remember him Lara and not Latov. But when you're being Megala Sod, that's a personal, let's put it this way. Lashon Hara is not only Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. I mean, Lashon Hara is just a whole attitude toward the person's memory. Whereas over here, this is purely Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. This guy doesn't want it. It's a violation of his ratzon. Well, he's dead now, so there is no ratzon to violate. Okay, well, that's what I would have thought. But it says Chaim Kanievsky says that it's a violation in that case as well. That he saved his life. Yeah. So he says you're not allowed to tell. You're not allowed to tell him even. Even after he dies. Yeah, so that's what I thought. I thought that's the minhag. The minhag is the person did a whole bunch of things in secret, and not only that, we even say things that he didn't do. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that you're allowed to be maxim. That's halacha, that you're allowed to exaggerate a little bit in a hesped. So all the poskim are bothered by that. Exaggerate is another word for lie, isn't it? Exaggeration means that you're lying a little bit. So that's why. Some of the poskim write that no. Probably, if you saw, a certain amount of good that the person did, they probably did a little more that you didn't see. So when you exaggerate, you're probably getting closer to the truth than when you report exactly what you saw. So that's how they get around it. But there are entire communities that won't be maspid because they're afraid of doing too much, too little, and not being maspid karali. So I think Chabad, right? Chabad doesn't do. They don't do aspedin, right? The entire community doesn't do aspedin because of concerns of not doing it the right way. But you're right. It seems that that's the minute that people always reveal all sorts of secrets. How many stories did you hear about Paul Reichman as a chronicle of Racha afterwards about things, tzedakah that he did b'seis? So he did plenty of tzedakah publicly also, but how much tzedakah b'seis that we heard about afterwards? That probably he wasn't so excited about telling everybody about while he was alive. I don't know. So let's go through some of these shailas that Rav Zilberstein discusses over here. So first of all, let's start with the beginning. So he started with the case of telling the girl's father. This one I found fascinating. The woman who was sick didn't want her father to know. So we raised the question of if it's going to be dangerous for the father. So he says, if it's going to be bad for the father, let's say that if you tell the father, it's going to be it's going to be very difficult for the father, and to the point where he's going to become the type of chola that wouldn't be able to fast on Yom Kippur. So if he gets to that, if it would be to that point, then don't tell him. But he says, what if the father's going to take it okay for now, and adraba, by not telling him, maybe worse for him in the long run. So then, first of all, you have losamer al dam reacha, okay, which you would expect, that you can't let someone else suffer. Losamer al dam reacha beats the isra of being megala son. So if someone says, oh, don't tell that person that the investment they're about to make is going to go bust, and they're going to lose millions of dollars, don't tell them, because I think it's going to be funny. So no, you can't not tell them. You have losamer al dam reacha. You have to tell them. But then he raises another point. He says that is that pasuk in the parsha we just read. Vayashkim Lavan b'bokar vayinashik lebanav lebnosa vayivarech hasem. Lavan wakes up in the morning and he kisses his sons and his daughters and he blesses them. Sforno writes kvar amru alti birchas hedyot kala beinacha. We know Chazal tell us that even a bracha of a hedyot should be taken seriously, and therefore it tells us about the bracha of Lavan to his daughters. Lahoros shebirchas avasher hi albanav bechol nafsho, belisa fake roi shetachul yoser miskulas tzelem elokim amavarich. Unbelievable comment of the Sforno, that when a father blesses a child and means it, that has more of an impact than the madrega of the person who's giving the blessing. It could be a Lavan who's giving the blessing, but that blessing is going to mean something because it's coming from a father who's sincere, who really means it. So, says Rav Zilberstein, we have to take into account, remember, we're religious Jews, and we believe in the efficacy of tefillah. We believe that sometimes tefillah does help. So if we don't tell the father, forget about medically whether the father can help. The father can't help medically. But maybe he's the only one that can give the kind of tefillah that she needs. Maybe he's the only one that can daven for her. I read a story, a beautiful story in the Rav Scheinberg biography, that there was a bachur in Rav Scheinberg's yeshiva that in Torah that was that got very sick, and Rav Scheinberg didn't tell the mother. He thought by telling the mother it would make her very upset, and the child, and I don't know what the exact circumstance, but ultimately the bachur passed away, and the mother had a taina on Rav Scheinberg. The mother said, "How could you not tell me?" He said, I thought it would rip you apart. I didn't think it was healthy for you to tell. She said, "You're right. For me, it wasn't healthy. But how could you take away the opportunity for me to be mispalo for my own child? Who knows? Maybe my tefillah." And Rav Scheinberg said, "You're right. I messed up." He said, "That's the right thing. That a parent has the right to be mispalo in this kind of situation. Just a different perspective sometimes that we wouldn't have thought of when we're talking about the technicalities of being megalasod. We wouldn't necessarily always think of the full picture." Okay, there's a lot more here. Go ahead.